Hello, welcome into episode 187 of Caithness Craft Collective. I'm Louise and today I've got my viewpoint on Edinburgh Yarn Fest, what's a crack, coming up because we've got to look forwards as well as back, the review section with 6-bit storybooks reclaim edition, and the shopy section. This episode is kindly sponsored by my lovely, lovely friend Angela. Scotch Tweed is a small family textiles firm based in the Scottish Borders. Run by Angela with a huge amount of technical and know-how support from her dad Gerald, they have a wealth of experience into the weaving and textile trade, over 57 years to be exact. Their aim is to bring top quality tartan, tweed fabric, along with other Scottish goods and apparel, including Highland wear, to their customers at the best possible value. Angela is happy to speak to anyone at any time in regards to their requirements. If you cannot see what you're looking for on her website, do give her a call. The number is on her website, www.scotchtweed.co.uk, and has a UK free phone number. All links are with the show notes, so get your cup of tea or your dram, and I'll let you know what a crack is in Caithness this week. Or rather, Edinburgh. This is the Edinburgh Yarn Fest Rundown. Elbow have a song for this kind of occasion. It has the lines in it, throw those curtains wide, one day like this a year would see me right. Throw those curtains wide, one day a year like this will sing it right. I didn't actually know that that's the word. But they are. And that's how I feel about the Edinburgh Yarn Fest. Thank you so much to Joe and Mika for pulling it off again. Bigger, better than previous years. I don't know how they do it, but I do know that they do it professionally and for our enjoyment. Huge thanks to Louise Scully and her lovely fella, and extra thank you to Jeremy Jean for letting me stay with them and then be my sat nav in the car and doing roly-polies on my bed. That was a cat, not Louise. And I can report I did not Hunts eat her stash. It is intact, but I didn't even see it. Huge thank you to Hart, Blacker and Garth Knorr for the podcast lounge area and support. I again enjoyed this area this year and the company of all the staff. And sticking my head in the wool was lovely too. Huge thank you to the volunteers and the staff who make the Corn Exchange experience smooth and wonderful. Even to Tam, the security man, who Ella feeds shortbread, but this year he was crying but he never got any because apparently his pals didn't share it out. A huge thank you to you fellow podcasters for your company and gifts this weekend. It was so nice to meet you again, or for the first time, or actually talk properly this year, as last year we didn't get the chance. I realised that some of them were actually shyer than me in going up to someone and chatting. And now a huge thank you to listeners for your company and gifts. I told you before, I just want your company, listeners. But I am very, very thankful for the kind gifts that you do give. Greedy Louise loves you. I'm sorry I didn't have any badges or anything to give out in return, so hopefully I can give you a wee shout out and make you all cosy now. Badges were a big thing to swap this Edinburgh Yarn Fest. We were all wearing them on our lanyards like brownies. And I felt a bit bad at the time for not having badges. This might be a long list, of course, because there's a lot of you. So non-EYFers, hold on for the hello section. You'll be in there. So firstly, went into the building on the Thursday. I was like a drooned rat, as it was chucking it down when I got there. So I went into the Corn Exchange, but I didn't immediately hug Hannah K. Ross because I didn't want to get her wet and soaked. I hugged her a lot the rest of the time. In fact, she had at least one hug a day from me, if not more. I found my woolly pal Louise Scully of Knit British fame and then fell over some of the Scandinavian corner, putting my coat behind the sofa of the really lovely podcast lounge. I was delighted at the sheer size of it. A huge thank you to Blacker and Garth Knorr for making that happen. They were up in their usual place and we were in on the other side of the room. We've come a long way from a corner at a table in the first EYF. It was really busy at the meet that the podcaster time was in full swing when I got there. I met Joe of Shiny Bees fame, who was wearing the most sparkly and lovely fitting Lush cardigan. I wished that I had mine on then. She was looking good and has recently recorded a really interesting episode with Countess Ablaze, so I must go and listen to that. And then we met the Countess the next day and she gave me one of her badges which referred to the episode. I also met Kate of A Playful Day podcast and it was lovely to see both these lovely ladies. I haven't seen them in quite a while. I also, there was Meg of Mrs. M's Curiosity Cabinet, Lee of Lou Lee, Kate of Hawthorne College fame, and I made Kate laugh by telling her that my mum had stumbled across her podcast, loved it, not knowing that I'd met her and would recommend watching her. Hunt's Eight Gang has been stood down because the lovely Pip of Tipsy Knits podcast has started knitting again. Sia was actually looking quite disappointed at this because I reckon that she really likes Pip's stash. Pip's going, what? Don't worry, Hunt Eight's fan, we're going international now and we need you. Anyway, that's a whole other story for when we are drinking whiskey together. I met Selma of Selva Knits and oh, she is delightful. In fact, I could keep her in one of my many pockets. I have a lot of time for Selma. And I have a lot of time for my new family, Vivian Allison of Keep Calm and Carry Yarn. Vivian's listened to me forever and poor Allison was, okay. She's not getting my room, okay, Mum? Vivian is Allison's mum, by the way. They do audio and video, and in fact, on the Saturday morning, there I was, happily buying yarn with Sia and Heather on the Rusty Ferret stand, and that was good fun because Sia was like, nope, nope, oh yes, nope, nope, yes, get three. Not quite as brutal as that, but it was brilliant watching her. It wasn't me that was getting it, it was Heather. I liked Heather, she was lovely. I liked Sia too. So, sorry, but I only like Heather. No, I like Sia, which is why I was standing beside them at the time. And then out popped Vivian, who stole me into a cupboard and we went to Narnia. No, I'm joking, we didn't see Aslan. We recorded a section for their latest episode. You can watch or just listen, and in there was Crochet Cakes and Inspired Professor, who were also a mother and daughter video podcaster gang, and they both crochet. It was interesting to hear from a younger and crochet-only viewpoint how the show was for them. See, I had thought that the event had always crossed knitting and crochet because yarn doesn't care how it's used, but they didn't know that the knitting people are designers, and that's fair enough, I can understand. They were all very taken with the Aileen Clark's Crafts needle felting range. She's some beautiful earrings and jewellery this year, and I think the earrings sold out on the day. She probably has some more in now, listeners, so you can don't feel like you can miss out. Go to her website and bye bye bye. It was a pleasure to meet all of these ladies. I, in the video, looked quite scared stiff. And stiff. Partly because, well, I'm audio for a reason, listeners. The odd makeup on for a start. I'm looking at myself in the feedback screen going, where'd I look? Oh, I was a scared rabbit in the headlights. And also I was trying to keep my shawl on my shoulders because it was a little chilly and I didn't have Helen Stewart feel the need to dress me again. It also made me realise when then they said Clarissa Beth and Alison had been there at the Edinburgh Yarn Fest last year. They said they saw me, but they were a bit shy of coming over. They were very sweet because I know it was just because Vivian told them too. However, next Edinburgh Yarn Fest, I'm going to make a beeline for them because I really enjoyed their company. And plus, we now have three extra podcasts to go watch because Crochet Cakes and the Inspired Professor used to do one together, but Crochet Cakes has moved and now we have three of Keep Calm and Carry Yarn, Crochet Cakes and Inspired Professor. All these people so far I've mentioned, you really have to go and check them out. They're just so lovely. And Pip and Sia have put their audio onto YouTube because people were asking for them to do that. Nobody actually asked me, but asked Pip how you go about doing this, and when Richard's on holiday in a couple of weeks, I will get him to assist me doing this because it's to do with video editing. And yeah, I could work it out, listeners, but I'll get him to do it because he actually knows how it works. So I might be on YouTube. I might be on YouTube. It would be audio probably only. So hello, people on YouTube, if you are listening to this in future lives. Or past lives. I'm not very sure how time travel works. It's a timey-wimey thing. So when you walk into a room full of people, even though they be your tribe, it can be a bit daunting if you don't know who to go to speak to. So I was a wee bit rabbit in the headlights, but Ruth Crafts and Julia Stumpy 01 were there, and well, I knew I was in good hands. Also, there was Nora of Silver Spring Knits, Ella of Gift Knit Girl fame. I met Janet Barra, who's going to my retreat. And you know, for the retreat ladies, none of them seem to be beside me at the same time as the other. So I'm not sure how many of them actually met each other. Bev was there at one point, but a lot of them had classes or were just popping in to say hello, which was really nice. Also, it was nice to chat to Soup Dragon's Claire later in the afternoon, and she told me then that Lisa of Erica Eccles fame was down working on the Knitting Goddess stand. So, I made a beeline down here, as I was quite excited to meet her. Bless you, Lisa, you cried. Probably crying now. I was actually delighted meeting you in person at last and to catch up with Joy of Knitting Goddess, whom I send all my love and yarny squishy hugs. Her stand was a riot of colour the entire weekend, albeit by the end of it there was a lot less volume, which is an extremely good thing. I was really delighted to catch up with Liz Musgrove before she moves back to Australia this week. She so kindly gave me a last hurry with some whisky, which has gone to good use this past week, whilst I've been heading off the Edinburgh Yarn Festival Lurgy. Liz, safe travels, and I will be your Instagram friend now, with haste ye back. Instagram friends will know Liz from my picture of her Carbeth, which was green and grey with stripes and is gorgeous. I did keep bumping into Pat Blaine, which is always a pleasure, and now I'm smiling at that memory. Guess who I got a photo of them together? Yes, you're smiling, I'm smiling, everyone's smiling, it's ice cream time. Only Catherine Limer of and Tanya of TG Frogs at the same time. They actually know each other, which didn't surprise me. And I got a really good photo of them both smiling. So if you ever feel sad, go look at my Instagram and look, oh, I shall smile at them and they shall smile back at me. Thursday was a bit of a whirlwind, to be honest, and I had decided not to purchase anything, as when I went round the marketplace, I had wanted to go round a few times before I bought my new stuff. Plus, I had expected it to be all-consuming. But because it was ticketed only on the Thursday, it wasn't as elbow-poking, falling over each other busy, and whilst there was swift trade, I was able to say hello to some of the vendors, such as Leona and Hannah of Rusty Ferret Yarns. I was wearing my Louise Tilbrook fuss-free festival shawl, which I had bought some Rusty Ferret doll base last year, and I had wanted to show Leona. It really matched my newish top, which I hadn't noticed, and I'm glad that I can wear it a lot more now. Leona has been on honeymoon to Japan and other places, and she had brought back a Polaroid camera and was taking Polaroid pictures with it. Oh, you are, aren't you? So she said, smile, so I did, and went, oh, hold on, I'd forgotten. There's no screen to look at what you're seeing. It's proper old-fashioned camera with just a viewfinder. I know that, I'm of that age, but I'd forgotten. And when she handed me the picture, I insisted. You're doing it, you're shaking. Shaking it like a Polaroid picture. Shake it, shake it, shake it like a Polaroid picture. Hey, la. I'm shaking. You can probably hear it. Well, listeners, you don't in actual fact need to shake them, nor would I recommend it because I broke it. Well, I wrecked the chemical reaction on the left corner. But, well, that was Leona's face part, so it doesn't matter. I look great in it. She wouldn't let me touch them again after, and I don't blame her. She's so much fun. I love Leona. Again, Rusty Ferret stand was an oasis to the storm for me, and I spent a fair bit of time petting Kevin and the doll and laughing at all the names. She's got so much fun in Leona. She's just awesome. Plus, absolutely ending myself at a lovely lady who picked up the bright green apple shade on the corner and said, do you know what, that colour almost offends me. She's just like, you don't say that, that's rude. And then, I think it was because it was beside something she didn't like. We said, well, what about the black or the cerise pink? And she went, and she bought it. So she came back offensive because she's buying it. It was just brilliant. The next time I went back, Leona had moved it because she listens to her customers. And then all of a sudden Thursday was closing time for some people. But we made our way into the Mahusiv marquee and that they had added onto the back, which is where the knit night happened. I lost Louise and the lovely fella as we went in, and Pip and Sia says, oh, sit here, and also Psychic Knitter, which was really, really kind of them. We could see, well, I was sitting directly looking into the next door's indoor football, so I had a great view, until the man on the microphone, two tables over, started talking and didn't shut up for a good 10 minutes and then put the music up. I couldn't hear Pip, never mind Sia, and then Psychic Knitter was struggling with my accent. And then to the right of me, three ladies from, think Pip said Portugal. They couldn't understand me at all, and at one point I went over to Joe of Joe and Mika fame and asked if she'd seen Scully. No, came the reply. But have you met Jace from Ravelry? No, hello. I will now fangirl you, as I was not expecting to meet you and I don't have a prepared script for this meeting. So she handed me my own Ravelry badge, which was really cool. And I thanked her for starting Ravelry, because without it, all the people there that night wouldn't have been there, and I certainly wouldn't have this podcast. So I was genuine when I said it, but I did say I am fangirling you. She was lovely. Then I got hailed from the Scully camp, an abandoned ship, to sit away from the massive blaring speakers. I'm not meaning Pip and Sia or the big speakers, the big Yamaha kiddies blaring out the lovely relaxing music. And there I was sitting with Jo, a lovely lady from Australia who was really funny, but I didn't catch her name, Mika's sisters, Jenny and Sony, and Haneke Ross, who I recorded taking an Instagram video while she was taking an Instagram video of me, and then Louise did it over the two of us. It was actually really sad, because it doesn't save them automatically, and I didn't save it, although I was told how to. But it was good fun being meta. I looked up meta in the dictionary recently, in case you wondered. I thought, oh, I can be meta. Sad. They came out with some food, which was really filling. There was olives, cheese, cured meats and pickles, quite continental, which the lovely fella thought, no way is that going to be enough for a table of 10. And I thought that too, because Greedy Louise was hungry. And in the end, it was. And believe me, we gnashed into it after we'd realised everyone had had enough. They kept coming around saying, can we take that away for you? No, leave the cheese. Take the pickle. Leave the cheese. I loved having other people on a table that loved cheese. We had a big debate about one of the cured meats, what it was, and in the end we decided it was either roadkill or Rudolph. Probably wasn't, it was probably just normal stuff. On a table close to us was the chicken ladies. These were two ladies from Sweden who had knitted chicken hats and knitted chicken pyjama cases, which one had a wine bag in to keep its shape. Obviously, with this being a licensed premises, it contained water. But they were so much fun, and the chickens have a blog. But it is in Swedish. She handed me a card as well when I spoke to them and told them how much fun they were. I can't find it, but they're easy to find. Now, Toft Alpaca were sponsoring the photo booth that year, and there was an 8-foot-high Highland coo, I think it was called Morag, which is where everyone but Louise and I got our photos taken. We did mean to. We kept meaning to, and in the end we missed it. We had, right, 4:30, let's go do this, and then she disappeared, and then I disappeared, and then it was 5:00 and it was done. I'm seeing loads of lovely photos of you on Instagram, though. I also didn't get back into the marquee to set the net at any time, but it was really well used. I'm not sure how cold it would have been, but the fact that we all had wool on would have helped this situation. On the Thursday night, back at Louise's flat, I got to say hello to Jeremy Jean again, and she was, as ever, delightful. She's a cat, by the way. Louise and I swapped our socks. We'd been knitting each other, and I'm relieved to tell you that the ones I made for her fit. Whew. She made mine in Gotland and Tamar, and I've worn them enough to be washed twice already. In fact, I'm wearing them now. I couldn't wait until the Saturday to swap them. On the Friday, I know, that's just Thursday. Right, Louise, day 2, Edinburgh Yarn Fest.
Day 2. Hump day. No.
Excited?
I am. I'm still trying to pace myself a little bit, I think, because it's a long... We're in it for the long haul this year. Yeah. Everyone is. Yeah. It should be EYF 2018, subtitle, The Long Haul.
Right, well, let's hope we have a good one.
Yes, you too. What are you looking forward to today?
Seeing everybody.
That's the best bit.
Yeah. I mean, I like all the yarn and stuff, but I do like seeing people more. I think all my photographs of people and everybody else's photos of you.
That's no bad thing, I don't think.
Right, cool. Have fun.
Yep.
We went in early before the rush, and it was nice to see, I know this sounds bad, but I love seeing the stands with nobody on them. Empty of customers, and you just get to see the stands in all their glory. I spoke to Maddie Harvey. Happy birthday, Maddie. And Elaine of So Cherry Knits, who are both working on the Old Maiden Aunt stand, which, as ever, was delightful. I also spoke to Helen of Ripple's Craft as we went through and chatted to the Blacker staff. Last episode, I was talking about which I thought was Falkland. Well, that was discontinued, but no, listeners. It is Blacker Swan. It's Falkland Merino and it's gorgeous to knit with, so go get some. In fact, later in the day, Louise had a friend in from work and we decided that... And we decided? I can't remember if we decided, she decided, or who decided. They wanted to buy some of the Falkland Merino Swan because it's not at all scratchy. And she was wanting to make a Pitt Carey hat by Emily K. Williams, who's Flutterby Knits, who was there most of the weekend, and she wild swims without a wetsuit, so she's proper tough. But she's got some lovely designs. So Louise's friend was really nice, and we both felt that we had met each other before, and I'm pretty sure that she must have worked in the same area as me at one point, because I know I haven't worked in hers. But it was just like kindred spirits that we just hadn't properly met for a while. I was again chatting to lovely, lovely Helen Stewart of Curious Handmade Podcast, and I was wearing my Dragonflies Rising shawl on the Friday, and this has beads in it, which she liked, thankfully, because it's her shawl pattern. She did rearrange me, because I was looking a bit dishevelled, for a photo. I love Helen. She's quite shy, you know. She was fresh from her retreat in Cumbria, and on it was lovely Lady Sue, who was at the 2014 main retreat with Mum and I. What a lovely chance it was to catch up with her. I really enjoyed that conversation. Some of the international podcasts were also appearing then, and I finally met Claire of NH Knits and the Woolly Thistle Yarn Shop fame. She was a listener of mine from a long time ago when I started running. I remember her commenting on my post saying that she missed the smell of the gorse. So that's been a while. I'm pleased to announce that she is as lovely in person as she is on her podcast. In fact, she said it was down to my influence that she started podcasting. You are all welcome. I laugh at this because she's wonderful in her own right, and I couldn't take credit for any of the podcasters I influenced to start, but like a mother hen, I love how they spread their wings and fly. Well, maybe a mother swan or goose, because hens don't fly very far. Anyway, swan. Well, let's choose swan. I'd quite like to be a swan. There was two swans flew over me today. It was lovely. Anyway, Claire was travelling with Sarah of Fibre Trek, who I've watched since the start, and it was so nice to meet her in person too. We all felt like we knew each other, like some of you feel when you know me without meeting me. Mind you, not that I could get near them much with Scully there. They are three kindred spirits, those. Then what made me laugh at one of the meetups was that Helen of Sprite 66 fame was going, "No, you're more famous than me," and they all say the same thing, "No, you're more famous." It comes to something when you're trying to decide who's more famous. What also made me laugh was all the New Hampshire connections and people. Claire of NH Knits lives there, and at one point early on Friday morning along came Paddy Staverson, who was an Instagram friend. I'm hoping that you're now a podcast listener friend now too, Paddy. She contacted me quite a few years ago now because her relations were from Caithness and she was going to travel the area, which she did. I was talking to her about the same time as Claire, and it turned out that they live not too far away, kind of maybe Edinburgh, Glasgow distance. And there was someone else who was actually closer that day, which I thought was pretty cool. I was their North Hampshire magnet and knit befriender, and I was really like, oh, please be going so that you could be knit friends when you go home and go to the same knit night and stuff. Don't know if it'll work out, but it was brilliant. There was also Ninja Chickens, more on her later. Knitography, Woolen Vine, Christy Glass, Tracy of the Grocery Girls video cast, who were all very pleasant to speak to. No idea who I was, but it was fine. They were really nice to actually meet. But then there was the Scandinavians, such as Fluffy Fibres, Skeindeer Knits, Frostbites, Cambornia, whom I sat with later in the night. Nathan of Sockmatician, he was quite busy because he had a lot of classes, but he was busy organising chairs later on. And of course, Fruity Knitting, and I had a lovely chat with Andrew on the Sunday. It was really funny. I loved watching Julie Knits in Paris zoom around the place. Oh, she was just awesome. On the Saturday, I'm going to move back and forward here, she had her flash mob in the podcast lounge, and it was Shania Twain, man, I feel like a woman, but she changed the words, and she has it on her Instagram feed. Now, if you look carefully, you can see me bopping around in the background, killing myself, laughing, and having such a great time. And Angela is utterly bemused, and I was like, come on, this is going to be awesome! And Kate of Hawthorne Cottage is beside me, and we just loved that. So I kind of thought Julie might have been a bit standoffish, but she's not at all. She's so nice to speak to. There was plenty of other podcasters too, such as Thurso's very own Bearded Shields John, and his wife were there, along with a new podcaster from Orkney. I'm going to have to track her down and watch her lesson, because I didn't know anything about her until the Sunday. Somebody said that they were in their hotel, and I thought, eh? Missed out on that. It was very much a visual thing going on with the video podcasters, because they know what they look like, and they seem to have a gang from the off. The audio podcasters are a little less easily found, but they are such good company when you do find them. The Friday was full on. Nora and Ruth assisted me with buying Mum all the needles and some soak. I bought the needles from the very busy but efficient McCree Brothers stand. All the needles. She got a set of Symphony socks and then some extra carbons just to make up what she wanted. And she wanted some blocking pins as well. I also bought a big bottle of soak from the soak lounge. Well, stand. I don't know why it was called lounge, because it was a stand. And I got one for Mum that's scentless, because sometimes smells can upset her tummy, and she wasn't there to choose. And I got me the same as last year, the lacy, which to them, I think, means lace, knitting. To me, listeners, it means cagney to my lacy, of course. I bought some buttons from Beyond Measure for my textile artist friends, and kicked myself I hadn't gotten them on the Thursday, because they had some lovely little wooden ones, which were laser cut, and said handmade by me, and I could only get three. But I did buy other ones, and that was just lovely. I noted that they had some sewing patterns there too, which looked nice. Listeners, not only was the knitwear on show breathtaking, and everywhere you look, you saw hours and hours of work on somebody's back. Also on show, there were some beautifully sewn garments. I had a lovely conversation with a lady on the Sunday about her dress that she had made, and guess what? Pockets is. That was from the Avid Seamstress, so I'll put their link in the show notes. I have actually highlighted this. I know I haven't done show notes for last episode yet, but I will. We had a little wander around and spoke to Tanya of Dorset Buttons at every opportunity, and her lovely, lovely husband Gareth. Try not to get in the way of the customers. I have some of Tanya's new yarn range to review for you, so I will be in the next episode. I really loved assisting people into buying things. It was great fun. Because I had my budget and some of them didn't have my budget. So it was great fun. On Friday, a very special person dropped in the guise of Molly Makes Ruby, whom I've not seen in a few years now. Ruby, you are such a lovely, lovely person. I was delighted to catch up with you again. We had such a laugh when we'd met in London all those years ago with Kari, and it's good to bring up happy memories and add to them. It was so hot that day, can you remember? I have a little blank about Friday lunchtime because it was so busy. So if I spoke to you then, hello. I know I was speaking to someone in the middle of the area when there were some Instagram stories shimmying going on, and they were all wearing the same jumper. And it was lovely, but it started to get loud, and I thought, well, I could either go and hide in the toilet or talk louder. And it passed pretty quickly when the classes started. Guess which one I chose? Talk louder. On the Friday afternoon, there was the Blacker Knit Along photo shoot, and the lovely Jenny Reid was our proper photographer, who got us to pose wearing our Blacker kit. I was wearing my Newell cardigan made from West Country Tweed in dark red, and I had it wearing over my Mackay tartan skirt. I had taken off my Dragonflies Rising shawl by then because it was way too hot. I was trying to catch up with Eva of Perth Festival of Yarn, but then the Kate Davies talk was about to start and Claire Soup Dragon was there wearing the cabled Kildaltan cardigan from the Inspired by Isla collection. And there were three more appeared wearing the same cardigan but in different colours. All absolutely beautiful as the ladies wearing them. I quite liked that actually because there would be various people wearing the same pattern, such as Kate from Hawthorne Cottage was wearing Jennifer Steingass, the fern yoked sweater, which was very similar to my arboreal, but they all had the same sweater on, and she says, I hope they turn up for the photograph soon because I'm roasting. You're so funny. I had a rake in Giffnet Girl's stash, and guess what, listeners? Purple. She gave me some jelly babies. Thank you, Ayla. I was sitting on the couch talking to Ayla for quite a time and catching up, and it was lovely. And there was a couple of young, trendy ladies to the right of us. One of them was wearing a yoke jumper that had Pictish runes around it, which she said was part of her own design, and she used the Pictish runes part from another designer. They were really nice to talk to, and it was everything Edinburgh Yarn Fest to me is all about. Sharing, learning, listening, and new. You felt no shame in asking what the pattern or the yarn was wearing, and whilst the inspired professor said some people maybe weren't so keen on being touched, which is fair enough because a lot of crafters can be on maybe the autistic spectrum, and just being in that arena is enough sensory overload, or they're just not huggy people. But they were all very happy to share what they had made or were about to make, and a lot of people had designed but hadn't written up. However, Ruth Crafts has designed and has written up, so she was looking for a test knitter and she kept looking at me. So Ruth, I'll be your test knitter. I think I agreed to that actually. I'm looking forward to that. In a scary way. On the Friday night, all the podcasters were allowed a time to sit and chill out or knit and chat together. And this was all the podcasters who were at the event, not just the list ones. It was kind of surreal in a way to be sitting surrounded by all those faces or voices you hear when you're doing your thing in your own world, but they were answering back in the same room. I was horrendously tired at this point and I was casting on quietly, listening to Hay Brown Bear chatting to Selma and her really lovely husband Marcel, who was so thoughtful and proud of his wife as he's not a knitter. I know I'm saying lovely a lot today, but it's the correct word for all these people. Then it was time to go for a curry with the Blacker Yarn staff and friends while the rest of the world went for the Kaylee. I trust you all enjoyed yourselves, but I really enjoyed my curry, as I didn't have to make it, nor tidy up, and it was really tasty. It was Shazan, opposite the Playhouse, if any of you are there, and I would recommend. Staff fantastic, and took their time, even though it was Friday night. There were surprise birthday to the right of us, which was pretty awesome when he came in and they all shouted, surprise! And we're like, oh, cool! And we all got to sing happy birthday. It was so nice to actually get a full conversation in with Isla, Sid, Alice, Katie, who has her own podcast now, and it's called The Green Bean Podcast. And also Sonia of previous Blacker. Sid whipped out her crochet at one point and the table next to us were all, oh, what are you doing? So we had to have that conversation. Saturday dawned and Louise and I were stinking of garlic, but we scrubbed up anyway and it was really cold and starting to snow, and we headed out and wrapped up in my Kirsten Kapoor mosaic mystery shawl from last year. Notice I'm not saying the whole thing because I forgot to ask Hannah how to say it. It doesn't matter, Hannah, I'll tell you why in a minute. I started the day talking to Kate Atherley and Katie Green of the Green Bean podcast about the pattern book that she's just bought for dog coat patterns. I think it was Daughter of a Shepherd. I wish I'd left Bugle's coat a little longer now, because these patterns are delightful. Slightly bigger than the one I gave my mum. Anyway, it was good to talk dog to doggy people. I spoke to Pip and Sia on my way into the marketplace, and one of my funniest moments of the entire weekend was because I stopped to talk to Hannah K. Ross in my pocket while Louise Scully scuttled away shouting, come on, hunty, let's shop, as fast as our little leggies could carry her. I lost her. Then I found Karina Westerman at one point, Anna Kate Hebel, whom I've interviewed, and that will be coming up in a future episode. I told Karina how much I loved her essays in her book, and yes, we know she's never doing a book again, but I loved her essays anyway, and her book stares at me. She dealt it in her usual caraway of going, oh, Louise. I then scuttled off to Leona at Rusty Ferret, and as I said before, met the actual Heather that Tipsy Knits mentioned quite a bit, and the aforementioned Keep Cam and Curry Yarn video recording happened then. Louise and I found each other after that, and we gnashed out quickly for a spot of lunch. I didn't want to because it was so cold, but Louise needed 20 minutes break and it was really good, and we had a big discussion about tomato sauce versus brown sauce for different foods. She's very much no tomato sauce with eggs, like Richard. We were, of course, back for Meet the Podcaster lunch day 3. This found me talking to Ruth Churchman, whom I bought a shawl called Dreaming of Daisy in 2015. I told her, no, I'm not knitting it yet. Well, mainly because I didn't have a Zauber ball, which is actually true. She was showing me how she knitted on a piece of material that was copying a piece of material she'd seen in a museum. And it was like double knitting, but more complicated. She was using 6 needles to go through it. It had been worked out by, I think, a physics person. Now, sorry, I can't remember the entire details, but it's fascinating. And we all decided that she needed to start workshops on it soon. And funnily enough, she was sitting beside Janet Barra, who's going to my retreat, which was excellent because I met her. I was talking to Linda Thompson and then Catherine Limer, and I would love to stay and talk to them. Jan and Aileen, of Twinset fame, Linda was asking about you and hope that you record soon, Jan. Then Lynn Rowe of the Wheelness Designs book and podcast came over because she had her socks to swap as part of my Cagney to Lacey sock swap. So I'll tell you about that in that part of the episode later. I was then thought, I better go buy things because time is marching on. And I went out and I was talking to Jane Arnold Caulfield and I bought some Zauber ball for my Dreaming of Daisy shop. I've bought it in a teal and grey and I'll need to match it to something for the block colour part, which I've not quite decided yet, but I'm going to find something in my stash suitable. I had Louise with me then and we went to Jameson's of Shetland and she said, you could do this by yourself, you know. And I said, oh no, 2 reasons. I want you to talk Shetland with them and translate my Keithnesian for them, which are not languages, listeners, but they're a dialect and even we can understand each other sometimes. Also, I know that you like talking to them, Louise, and I want help to decide on my colour for my
Kyoko Nakayoshi.
Thank you, Jen.
Dress that I've wanted to make for years. That's not me saying that. When I was at Jane Arnold Caulfield's stand, I showed her what I was going to buy, and she knew Kyoko, and I asked her to say it or her name onto my recorder so I could let you hear how it's supposed to be pronounced. It's a really lovely pattern, just reading it, and it's very clearly laid out how many balls of Jameson's or Shetland are in weight I need. I had costed this out before, and I knew from previous years that they would only have the shade card, and it would be posted to me laterally. Which has not come yet. I keep looking at the postie, accusing them of not having it. So we stood for a whiley and decided on a teal. And I also bought a couple of balls of Spindrift to make the Shetland Wool Week hat pattern. I'll talk about that later too. Then I was standing and caught up with a lovely, lovely Alison of Doodles in Wool, who, if you're really good listeners, she gave me a wee nail file last Edinburgh Yarn Fest when my not immaculate nails broke. This year she presented me with an entire packet of them. Ali, they're in my knitting bag, and you make me smile when I see them. She was sitting with Jules Fergatron, who I had only talked to on Instagram before, so that was really nice. I also met a couple of their knit group, and they very kindly gave me a wee bag of goodies, which had in it a Tunnocks snowball.
Yum.
The Bairns got most of the other stuff that I was given over the weekend, the sweeties and stuff, but I kept the Tunnocks snowball for myself. And the jelly babies, they're for running. We also had a debate about Marks and Spencer's tea cakes versus Tunnock tea cakes, and someone said that they would fight to the death that the Marks ones had better chocolate and biscuit, but Tunnock's had better mallow. I did not take her up on her offer, as I was enjoying myself enormously and didn't want to die. She looked quite tasty. Then in walked Angela of Scotch Tweed. Hooray! She escaped from the snowy borders, but I like to think that her husband threw her out so he could watch the rugby in peace. Hi Malcolm, how are you, pal? So I introduced her to lots of people and took her round the marketplace where she bought all the things. I had already bought things for the retreat, which I'll not tell you about. Sorry. And I bought some Addy Sock Wonder Needles that are curved and look interesting for me. I'll use them and tell you how I get on. I got those from Wensleydale Longwool Sheep Stand. Those ladies are really nice. Louise had already bought some of their navy 4-ply Wensleydale. obviously, or maybe not so obviously to you, but it was shiny and soft and just looked beautiful. I have a list of things I wished I had bought and that was on it. Also, I wished I'd bought a dusty pink Iona cone of double knit because Hetty Thump had her red one on from last year and it was a lush cardigan. And I really liked it. And I also saw the Iona in the dusky pink as a Carbeth on the Sunday. Hetty Thump was good company all weekend. It's always a pleasure. Also, the Wool Kitchen Wonder Woman colour for socks. I would have loved to have that. But that's what I've bought over and above what I did buy. Not that I have any time to knit all of it, mind listeners. And that is expressively not baking later, so don't view any of you think it is. For next time. Anyway, I live vicariously through Angela. And she bought a jumper's worth of Wensleydale, which was just stupendous. She had her sock swap with Hickey Thump, which was good. And I think I mentioned that later. I was then off speaking to Aileen Clark's Craft, who was telling me how good things were going, and we found that Denise girl who was working on Ginger Twist's stand. I drooled over the chunky corblimey, and I asked if Jess was too famous to talk to us now. Well, she's lovely. And oohed and aahed at the actual jumper that was on telly, whilst Jess blushed and told me not to be so stupid. She's so nice. So, so nice. I hope she's feeling better soon. Both of them are, and I told Denise that I'm very much enjoying her tales of Ollie the cat, which gave me lessons in cat, as Jeremy had tried to get in the shower with me too. And I kindly told Jeremy no, it was best that she didn't, because I'm clumsy and I like her tail not squished flat. We found Beast Chops and her lovely mum at the Jamesons of Shetland stand and tried to persuade them to come to my retreat next year. And then we fell over in Carl Feller's stand. Not actually fail over, listeners. It means I bought something. I had actually wanted to say hello properly to Carol because I really like her. And the day before, I was going to speak to her, but the Countess of Blaise was there and I'd never met the Countess of Blaise first. So then when I turned around, Carol was actually dealing with a customer. And I could hear Nadia's voice from Cottage Notebook here, whom I missed this year. However, she's very busy with the wool in Dublin prep, so we will let her off and hope she makes it over next year. Anyway, Angela was lusting after a cardigan that was pinned to the wall, possibly the Sugar Cane cardigan, and I was lusting after the coiled magenta pattern which was pinned below it. We then touched the yarn and went and fell over properly. I had worked out that I had 600 metres in a worsted cashmere merino in my stash as part of a swap years ago from Woolumby Dreamer. I've probably still said that wrong, I'm really sorry. I never get it right. And it was too much for a shawl back then and not enough for a jumper. So I had thought I should add to that. Carol worked out that I would need 4 of her Nua in purple or capel, as it's called. Nua is merino yak and linen, and both of yarns have a beautiful drape for this boxy striped jumper. Carol is much more petite than I, so if she can wear it and look good, then I think I might get away with it. Angela bought the pattern book. Then we had coffee and cake, and we were sitting beside 3 overseas visitors wearing beautiful yoked sweaters but in different colours. They did tell me, but I've no idea. I have a photograph though. On the front page of Ravelry this week is a handy yarn candy inspiration planning page. Some of these jumpers from the weekend are on there and it is worth a look. Then Angela went off into the snowy borders and the day drew to a close. We took down the Blacker Lounge, which was kind of sad. When we did eventually go to get our coats, I saw the funniest thing, and that was Leona's husband wearing the tablecloths, a cape and bowing to Joe. He was like a wizard. In the cloakroom, I was officially adopted by Mika's sister, who put a flower in my hair, which I wore all the way home on the bus. However, that wasn't the end of Edinburgh Yarn Fest, no, listeners. Right, Louise, croak something into this microphone.
It's day 4 of Edinburgh Yarn Festival. We're going to the Meet the Shepherdess.
And we're excited.
We're really excited, but feeling the full force of 4 days of Edinburgh Yarn Festival. Oh, I'm sad it's over, though.
Yeah, we look forward to it so much.
I know, it's a big, it's a huge lot of energy and excitement that goes into it, and then there's a huge lot of energy and excitement when you're there, and then at the end of it you're like, oh. And then you have a lot of yarn to though not as much as I bought last year.
No. Have you still got some from last year?
Oh, God, yeah.
Well, there you go.
So, but that was taking your advice of looking at my stash before I went to Edinburgh Yarn Festival to see what I hadn't knit from the time before.
I know, but now I'm going to feel gilly, but I think you'll enjoy yourself today.
I will enjoy myself today.
Mothership.
I know I will. It is the mothership. It's the mother load. But I'm, yeah. Let's see how well I get on with interviewing people today. If I come holding the microphone up to you, I'm expecting you to be telepathic because I'm going to be resting my voice. So just answer the question that you receive in your brain.
Resting knit
That'd
face.
Be interesting.
What?
Like, you know, if I go just, you know, answer the question that I'm sending you right now. Did you get that? I've sent it to you.
She just looked at me and flickered her eyes. And my brain just went, no, just don't. You're too tired. Well, thank you for having me yet again, Louise. It's been
You're
wonderful.
You're very welcome. Very welcome. Anytime. Any other time as well.
Not any of you listeners. Me. Yeah. Sort of me.
Jeremy is overwhelmed. She's off.
Right, we better hit the snow because it's snowing just now. And hopefully it's not snowing north of Edinburgh. I'm not very happy about this snow driving north. But it'll be fine. Everything will be fine. It'll be fine. Well, thank you, Louise.
Thank you.
On the Sunday, I know, we're getting to there, we awoke to snow in Edinburgh. More snow. Big, fat, fluffy snow. But it was quite melty. And I was driving. Oh, joy. So I pardoned Asda this time, and we went back into the Corn Exchange for the last time, where the Meet the Shepherdess event was on. The marquee was still there, and it was quite relaxed. I grabbed a coffee, as it was so cold, and my new sisters Jenny and Sony bought some Ryland wool. Jenny got some of the last of the lighter DK, which was softer than the darker one, but the farmers were genuinely nice people. She was having a discussion about whether wool should be reintroduced to the UK with a lovely man from who'd lived in Canada, and he thought yes, and she was obviously concerned about her lambs, and I said I'd be concerned about me when out trail running. It's an interesting debate, but maybe for another time. It was so nice to actually meet Jane, then from New Leaf Yarns, who was doing a roaring trade in lace weight, alpaca, and I got to paint a beautiful hat shawl that was on her stand. I also spoke to Julie of Black Isle Yarns, and I love the delicate colours that she has on her yarns, especially that blue and green mottled one that was screaming, "Buy me now!" I introduced Julie to Kate of Hawthorne Cottage, and I wanted to call Kate Mary again. She said I did it the day before, and she's decided that I can be Bridget to her Mary. I'm down with that, as my Sandy would say. I heart my Kate Mary. She's so genuinely lovely through and through, especially when I can call her names that are not her own. I was watching an Instagram video that Mika or Joe made for the Edinburgh Yarn Feed, and it's at the moment I'm leaving to go home, and I can see me talking and hugging and saying goodbye. I can hear Louise saying goodbye, and then Claire and Kate and Jenny, and finally Hannah K. Ross, when all of us finally left the building. And then that was my EYF was done. I went to Asda to buy some pyjamas for Daisy and my lunch, and the wee wifey behind the checkout thought it was hilarious that people come from all over the world for a knitting event, and I just smiled and said, "Isn't it? Thank you, one and all, because one day like this a year will see me right." Now, will we have a wee giggle and a big swig of whatever it is you're drinking, if you're drinking anything?
Hello,
Sachin. A Sandy hello to new to me, be with me a while now and be with me forever, listeners. I very, very much appreciate you tuning in, and I hope that you're enjoying yourselves. A Sandy hello to new group members. I can't remember who I mentioned last episode. Sarah Oliver is me, Sue Ann Gardner, Mary Doll 36, Hicksna 603, Lady Blub, and CH6. Random hellos are to VK, Mummy Pearl, Loopy Lynn, BC789, Oryx Run, and Saratoga Knitting. I hope you are all very well.
What's the crack, Sachin?
What to crack? Well, firstly, my orchid is starting to bloom again. Hooray! That's beside the side, just because I'm seeing it. We all have an end of an era today with the closing of Brit Yarns. Isla is moving on to another venture, and I'd like to say a personal thank you to Isla for her help and kindness over the past few years. She's raised the bar when it comes to yarn shopping between her and Knit British, raised the profile of Brian, local or British yarn. This is not goodbye, Isla, and I send you my very best in everything you do. I'm also kind of sad for you who do not actually know what the Wombles are. Okay, it came as a shock that the Wombles are mostly a British thing and didn't actually travel overseas. I am not now sad, as I am about to point you in the direction of a wonderful series of books and TV programmes which were akin to the kindness of Paddington Bear. There are a series of books written by Elizabeth Beresford and were turned into stop-motion animation in the 1980s. Narrated by Bernard Cribbins. I did give some of you a wrong term when I said Elizabeth Beresford's son was Jeremy Clarkson. My apologies, that's wrong. Back to the Wombles. They live in a burrow on Wimbledon Common in London. They are never seen by humans, but they go out every day and basically litter pick. Their tag is, overground, underground, wombling free. The Wombles of Wimbledon Common are we. Making good use of the things that we find, things that the everyday folk leave behind. And if you start that in the company of anyone over the age of 30 in the UK, they will start singing it en masse. Wombles are the environmental warriors of the 1980s when it was not done to recycle anything. Mind you, it could be argued that we have become more and more wasteful since then, but that's as an aside. So, I recommend you go on YouTube the Wombles, because they will make you smile. The very, very lovely and kind Nora of Silver Spring Knits fame, who we realised had never actually heard of the Wombles before, gifted me a travel mug that this won't spill and has been used loads since. And I like it more than Richard's travel mug, which has so far been the pinnacle of all things travel mug. There was a few of you who had your water bottles and travel mugs and even their bamboo cutlery, which was pretty smart, Nora. For me, it's a thing that takes a bit of getting used to, like taking a shopping bag into the supermarket, but now that's a habit, and that's what it'll be. I read today that the plastic area of the Pacific Ocean is about the size of France. And even if it's not completely true, it's horrendous to think of any marine life just trying to be in that area. If any of you have children or grandchildren or even just fancied a lovely afternoon, then do go read and watch the Wombles and channel the Wombles and remember all your travel mugs and your reusable water bottles. And hurry for having Nora. Beardy Cheel. Now, he's got a lovely new shawl pattern out called the Pentland Firth, and I have a copy of it to give away. This week in Caithness, we had a walrus come visit us on several Caithness and Sutherland beaches. So the question is, what would you call your walrus? I'll open this thread and the closure date will be Friday the 13th of April. The Pentland Firth shawl is inspired by the great wave of Kanagawa by Katsushiika Fukasawa, very badly said by me, and also heavily inspired by the Pentland Firth, which is the body of water which lies north of the mainland of Scotland in between the Orkney Archipelago. This is where the Atlantic meets the North Sea. Twice a day, the tidal races are the strongest in the world, and long-time listeners will know that they are harnessing this energy in the form of tidal power. It's hard not to be inspired by the sea. John has designed a lovely shawl, and he uses texture to show the wave design in the shawl. John has also some quite exciting news in his very near future about some yarn that he's milling from Caithness Sheep. This venture is going to be called Caithness Croft. Do not get mixed up with me, Caithness Craft. I may craft with his Croft yarn, but it is not me. I have long wanted someone to do this, not me of course, but if he can get it going, it will only be a wonderful thing for the farmers in Caithness, as there are some amount of sheep around. Some of which are lambing, and some I think due to be lambing because the next door farmer was moving his sheep yesterday. It's funny at this time of year because the farmers traditionally move the sheep closer to the farmhouses, or even in the barns, and they seem to vanish from the normal fields. You think, where have the sheep gone? And then all of a sudden they're back and filled with lambs. Of course, we have the usual lambing weather, which is miserable. But that strongness and sturdiness will be seen in their wool, and John is hopefully going to get it off the ground and fly with it.
The review section.
Review section. Lovely, lovely Mel of Emsky Knits has released her final six-bit storybook, and this edition is called Reclaim. I received my copy yesterday, so it's hot off the press. You can buy yours from Ravelry along with all the other six-bit storybooks now, so you too can enjoy the stunning designs from Mel and, in this one, special guest designer Maria of Ninja Chickens fame. There are some interesting articles from both Mel, Maria and Stephanie Alford, which you should enjoy reading over your cup of coffee in the morning whilst you decide which pattern to knit first. This is an ebook and costs $19.20 and £14. Mel told me that it's actually $16 in the US just now, but it must be to do with the exchange rate. But for that, you will get 6 patterns and 123 pages for your PDF ebook. You can buy the patterns separately as well, but if you buy them all together, then you're going to get the articles as well. I hope you take special note on page 122, whose name is mentioned in the acknowledgements. Me! I've already said thank you, so bless her. The aesthetic, as ever, is glorious. Now, I know her and her team have worked on this for a good few months, and it had been delayed and been published. The name of this edition is called Reclaim, and it follows the theme of bravery, and my goodness, I am so proud of you, Mel. Now, listeners, trust me, be proud of Mel, from our knitted socks to our knitted hats. The pattern leads us on a journey called Optimism, Bravery, Delight, Purpose, Dignity and Fearless. The photography, as usual, is stunning. I love the model they've used. She's got real character in her gorgeous face and amazing hair. The photography does go from pretty to detailed and garment layout too, so it's okay for the pedantic knitters and also appeals to your aesthetic happiness. There are detailed garment blocking and preparation instructions too. Sometimes we forget about that part and it just often says, and seam. But this one gives you a reminder of how it's important and why. The 6 patterns include 1 shawl, 3 tops, 1 hat and 1 shrug. The hat and the shawl are designed by Maria of Ninja Chickens and both are particularly interesting. One for texture and one for geometric pattern, as it's designed around a compass. The shawl is called Delight and it's designed to depict rain and the flow of water, and she's used slip stitches and I really like it. I wish I'd seen this in real life when Maria was over here. She also has it in other colours in a large size, so you're basically getting 2 patterns for 1 there, and it is as striking. I look forward to seeing the shawl in all the colour combinations. The hat is called Purpose and it's about adventure and instantly brings to mind books like The Golden Compass and The Girl of Ink and Stars and all the possibilities and the adventures that this can give. This can be worn by anyone, albeit one with a 22-inch head. I'm sure you could work it bigger or smaller with 4-ply or Aran weight yarn. This one is in a double knit and she uses Miss Babs. It is very striking. Now, I love the model, as I stated already, but I'm not convinced that this hat style is for her. Maybe it's the colouring or her hair is too much for it because it's quite a curly hair and I don't think it sits properly in it. It makes me see the hat and the model separately rather than syncing together. It is a wonderful hat pattern and I'm considering making it for Richard or me, and I love the model, but just not together. The top is called Optimism and it's a tee or a short sleeve jumper, but Mel has used Quince and Company Sparrow, which is linen. This will give a lovely drape to the garment. It has stripes and interest on the sides and the sleeves. The colours are very subtle and Mel says go bold or go for more than 2 colours. This would work well in speckled yarn. This would suit any shape too, even with the horizontal stripes, and you could make it cosier if you use a more wool content. The top called Bravery is a sleeveless neck tied summer top, which is for layering. Layers, we love layers. The strength to this top is that she's used Habu textiles, which is silk stainless steel, along with the Quince and Company Sparrow linen together. Together they will take over the world. She also recommends you use straight needles for this to create uniform, easily moved stitches, and she has a detailed construction instruction. I meant to change that, but I still think it's the best words. Now, I don't live in a climate that I would use this top or have the body shape for it, but I am intrigued by the Habu and the construction of it. Also, I like the way that she has suggested you use straight needles, because straight needles, they're so old-fashioned. But do you know what? Sometimes you just got to use the right tool for the job. And I like how she's actually figured that out. She has a hashtag on each pattern, and this has hashtag bravery tank. If I'd have a tank, I'd call it Bravery or Fred. I quite like the name Fred for a tank. We move on to the classic jumper called Dignity. Dignity is one of my favourite Deacon Blue songs. I'm sure it's yours. This jumper can be made cosy or more summery by the yarn you choose. One that will carry the subtle yet dignified pattern on the tummy and the wrists area. There's other small details in the garment that will give it a classic feel. You will wear this until the cows come home and then some more. You could wear this to work with or to with a pair of jeans. Mel's used Space Cadet Lyra Golden Compass reference sport weight, and it has subtle flecks of colour throughout it. I really love this the more that I look at it. This would work well for any shaped person from size 34 to 46 inch. Even a man person. We end with fearless, and this is what we all want to be. Fearless of anything that life throws at you. This is a lovely wee shrug that is sized for a young adult size, but if you read the pattern, you can make it for you. My fearless Daisy could really do with one of these, and I'll have to go and look out some yarn for it. Mel has used hazel knits and sport weight with a highlight of Madeline Tosh. There's a story behind this one, cleverly linked to the article, but you'll have to read it to find out. I love the way she has described the knitting experience required for each pattern, or recommended, I should rather say. It ranges from, if you can knit, this project is a go, adventurous beginner who wants to knit, purl and work with circular needles, to the wonderful, if you want to make this, you can. Be patient and you'll be golden. Oh, that was lovely. Mel, this is a gorgeous collection for your last six bits, and you should be all the things that you have designed and be proud. So that's Six Blitz Reclaim by Mel Ski, and you can get it on Ravelry. Or listeners, she has kindly offered you a copy. If you would like to win a copy of this, please comment on the Ravelry page with which out of the six words you like best from Optimism, Bravery, Delight, Purpose, Dignity and Fearless. I will give you until the 13th of April and draw it then.
The Swap Section.
Swap. Cagney and Lacey, sock it to me. Well, this is the last time this will be mentioned. A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, I referred to Louise Scully of Knit British Podcast fame as the Cagney to my Lacey, and I decided she was Sharon Gless and I was Tyne Daly. That's two Louises of podcast land keeping law and order in the yarn podcast land of Scotland. She's Sharon Gless because Louise wears my lipstick and I can never be bothered. It's the art of truth of that. The swap is done now, so they should all be posted if you have not already done so. It was really lovely this weekend as Woolen Words, Emil and her gorgeous baby got a hug from Stephen West, and they swapped right in front of me with Nora of Silver Spring Knits. Then Angela of Scotch Tweed fame and I hunted down Heggy Thumps Helen, and they swapped too, which was really cool. All four lovely ladies, and we kind of agreed it was a bit of a thing to knit for other people's to make them fit. Louise and I had swapped on the Thursday night. I couldn't wait to give Louise her socks to see if they fitted, and she squealed, a good squeal, when she saw them, and phew, they fitted. She's made me mine, Gotland and Tamar, and the leg part is a gorgeous lime green with a fancy rib on it, and the foot is plain. I've washed them twice, three times already, and worn them, and they are perfect for my winter walking shoes. And we need them quite a bit just now, with it being still, well, it is kind of spring-like. The very lovely Lynn Rowe of The Wool Nest, who has a podcast too, and it's just worth a listen, Crochet Fans, appeared and she was hunting down Mum is Mad's Helen. They swapped too. Len had also been making Mind the Gap socks, which I commented on her Instagram and said, oh, that yarn's been on my want to do list for a long time now. And then she offered me a pair because she had enough left over if she added in some hand-dyed toes and heels. Honestly, listeners, I said, no, that's okay, quite a few times. And then she insisted, so I agreed. Gravely, she was like, yes. We were standing talking about how kind everyone was and how sometimes it's nice to give something away and you just feel good doing that. And I gave her my Kirsten Kapoor shawl instead of knitting her a pair of socks. I've told her the story of the three yarns in it and the shawl itself, and she looked lovely wearing it. I've always wanted to do that since Mel of Emsky Knits gave my mum one at the end of the main retreat. Lynn, you helped me achieve that. It's not that I didn't love Kirsten Kapoor shawl and everything it meant, but the story is now with Lynn. I did enjoy making Louise's socks, and even though I panicked that they wouldn't fit, it has relighted my fire for socks, which is perfect. I have some Nora, which I bought years ago, which is worsted weight, and I now have the Anne Budd book, which I can get knit up pretty quickly. They'd be great welly socks. Do you know, actually, Anne Budd was in Edinburgh Yarn Fest, but I didn't know what she looked like enough, so I'm afraid I missed fangirling her. I'm delighted I got to use up a bit of stash, and also it might encourage Louise to knit her jumper or cardigan with her West Country tweed in the same red to match her socks now. Sure, Louise, yeah? Thank you, everyone, for taking part. You never fail to inspire or amaze me further.
Coming up, it's there.
Coming up, because we need to look forward as well as looking back. Well, the Aberdeen Knit Fest is coming up on Sunday the 13th of May at the Doubletree by Hilton Hotel Aberdeen Treetops. Perth is the 8th and 9th of September, and I'm going, and I've just noticed that it clashes with the Caithness Half Marathon. I thought Perth was the week after and Caithness was the week before, and I'd be able to do both, but I had so much fun at the Edinburgh Yarn Fest. I don't want it to end. I can't make the Dublin Woolen event because they planned it the same weekend as my retreat. So I'm going to take one for the team, miss the Caithness Half and go to Perth. They have announced the lineup so far and it's really good. I mean, they don't have the huge names of Stephen West or Will Miser, but they've got Gong Crafts, Gamer Crafter, Strathern Fleece and Fibre, Phileas Yarns, Henny Penny Makes for starters, and I think there's about 70 vendors. There is also Caithness Croft, not me, John, and the tutors are to be Carrie Westerman, Skeindeer's Ellie Langstrom, Janice Anderson, Beverly Dott, Dale Murray and John Glenn. John, you're everywhere today. I will get to meet my pals from Tipsy Knits again, which is actually the reason I'm going, and I'm thoroughly looking forward to it. Eva has this at the Dewar's Centre deliberately, as it gives excellent access for those that are less abled, which should appeal to some of you. I'm going to stay with friends and family, and I'm really looking forward to it. Eva, your song for today is Olives, You're Not Alone. Loch Ness is the 19th to the 21st of October in the Leisure Centre in Inverness, which is just beside the ice rink from last year. Workshops and classes will take place on the Friday and Saturday, and the marketplace will be open during the weekend, 10 to 6. They announced their lineup this week, and it includes workshops by Chrissy Day, Hazel Tyndall, Anna Maltz, who's very of the moment, Elizabeth Johnson, who's the patron of the Shetland Wool Week, and has designed the Merry Dancers Tory hat, which you can get from their website. Ethel Hillier, Kurt Payne, Laura West, Crystal Seyfirth, and friend of the show, Maddie Harvey, who is teaching Inspired by Colour, Geometry and Knitwear Construction. These are really good teachers, but I'm going to put a word that the workshop tickets do not give access to the marketplace. I disagree with this for several reasons. Firstly, if I've paid a reasonable amount for a workshop, I'd want to then carry on the Yarn Fest experience by spending money with the vendors. Secondly, the workshop people bring in quite considerable income to the vendors in a very short space of time, and they may miss out on this, which is not good for business for welcoming back the vendors. Believe me, it does not take a long time to spend a lot of money in a Yarn Fest. You just do your homework and go to the stands quickly, or you panic buy and just buy all at the same place. I have been to a lot of yarn events and never once have had to pay over and above for the workshops to get into the marketplace. Thirdly, the people you want in your marketplace are the ones who are really invested in the craft, and those are the workshop people, so to do this is poor show, in my opinion. If this had happened last year, I don't think I would have bothered going to the ice rink at all, and it would have been a shame as I would have then missed out on some of the wonderful vendors. I assume it's a business decision, but I disagree with it. Loch Ness Knitfest was good fun last year and I was really pleased it's moving to a better venue. It's got a lot going for it, but if they're marketing it towards the tourists again and the demographic that has the disposable income, then I think they'll lose their market. It's not all that big up in the Highlands. I mean, they might encourage the tourists, but not the local Highlanders. I've put my opinion to them, so I'll let you know what their right of reply is. Now, what they have done right is a day trip deal. This is going to include your festival ticket and coach transport to and from the festival from Caithness, Ullapool, Fort William and Aviemore. They've got limited seats available, so get in there if you want to go. And they're currently hosting a knit along which is running from the 1st of March, to the 1st of May. The prize is two tickets to the festival and a pair of tickets to the Highland Feast. The theme of the crochet knit along is Scottish designer, and they're asking people to knit or crochet any pattern by a Scottish designer originally from or residing here. Everyone is welcome to join in the crochet knit along. Basically, you need to go no further than Maddie Harvey, Hazel Tyndall or Elizabeth Johnson. Maddie has a beautiful shawl out called Emma, and it uses two colours. One of them gives a textured string of pearl stitch. It's beautiful. She also has one called George Street and one called Cherry Stone. It's hard to keep up with her wonderful Maddie, so you have lots of choice. And you could also do the Hjorki hooded cardigan by Hazel Tyndall and probably win outright. It looks amazing. I would probably just cast on the Merry Dancers Turi because I'm going to make it anyway, and this is Elizabeth Johnson's pattern. So there is plenty to look forward to get us over our Edinburgh Yarn Fest lurgy. I was just really disappointed in their decision about the workshops. It kind of actually put a bit of a cloud over it to me. I was actually quite disappointed when I found that out, and it made me kind of less likely to want to endorse their product or and go to their festival because of it. I mean, it wouldn't be the smallest hill I would die on, but wet entertainment fans will know what I mean. But I just think it's disappointing. Right, I'm not having me section this episode. I'll basically just turn on to the blah 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 section. Thank you so much for listening. I do appreciate you taking the time to download, because it's quite a big one, and listen to me splaff on. I would like to add, all the opinions are mine. I do occasionally get fact wrong, but I try not to, and I don't do it on purpose. My email is caithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. I'm on Ravelry as Louise Hunt, Etsy, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook as caithnesscraft. You can get the podcast from Podbean site at www.caithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com. I mean, it's on iTunes and all the rest of them as well. Possibly at some point soon, YouTube. The intro is from Free Music Archive and is called Entertainment for the Braindead by Afriend. Thank you for listening and keep on crafting.